Empower Radio presents Simple Steps, Real Change with Cheryl Maloney and Kenny Brixie. You'll find inspiration, support, and simple steps to help you on the path to a better life. Simple steps lead to real change. Here are your hosts, Cheryl Maloney and Kenny Brixie.
Have you hit your limit and are just ready to give up? Do you feel as if your lot in life is all that it will ever be? I found this great quote by Andy Andrews, and he wrote a book called The Heart Mender, A Story of Second Chances. And that quote goes, "There are no hopeless situations. Only people have grown hopeless about them. You still have choices you can make." Our guest tonight is living proof of how making a difference choice made such a difference in her life. Linda Joy went from being a welfare mom to a respected author, publisher, and catalyst passionate about helping women to live their dreams. And tonight, we're even going to celebrate that she gave birth, but we'll talk about that in a minute. Welcome to our show tonight. This is Cheryl. Kenny and I are so grateful that you've joined us and excited for what this show is going to bring. I also have to do a celebration tonight because we hit our 93,000 friends on Facebook today. So I always celebrate because we're sharing the positivity far and wide, and those are all lives we get to touch. Kenny, are you celebrating with me?
Oh yeah, I always share anything that we can. Anytime we can share to more people, I'm celebrating.
There we go. And yeah. It's been an amazing journey for us too. But you know, Kenny, you and I started from places way back when where we were living in this black hole of hopelessness. We both come through this. What was it for you that triggered you to get out of that place?
You know, it was the realization that I did not have to stay there. And nobody does. You know, I had convinced myself that that fate had delivered this blow and that this was my new life. And I started buying into that, and something, and I couldn't tell you exactly what it is. Something sparked new light and new realization that I did have a choice in the matter, that I did not have to stay where I was. And that started the climb out. And it was a climb. It wasn't just a snap and we're done. Mm-hmm. It was a climb for me. How about you?
Isn't that true for all of us? You know, I tell this story often because I didn't quite realize that I was in the black hole until I was watching television one night and saw a commercial for an antidepressant. And I realized that's what my life had become. And it was at that moment that I said, I have to do something differently because this is not the way I want to live my life. So we have all been in those places, some place where we didn't want to be to different degrees. And tonight's show, well, Kenny, before we jump in with Linda, let's just say to everyone, if you would like to call in and have a question for our guest tonight, the phone number is 248-809-3475. Again, 248-809-3475, or you can email us at simplesteps@me.com, simplesteps@me.com. I'll be sitting here and checking emails as we go if there are any of you that just don't want to be on the radio. But, you know, Kenny, I'm just so excited that Linda's here. Let's go ahead. Go for it.
Okay. Our special guest tonight is Linda Joy, that is. Linda is a best-selling inspirational publisher, passionate speaker, and a heart-centered conscious business catalyst dedicated to inspiring women to live deeper, more authentic, and more inspired lives, both on personal and professional levels. In the late 2009, she relaunched her Aspire magazine on a digital platform using the 5 success principles that she created. Within the first 100 days of implementing her new system, Aspire had a global subscriber base of over 10,000 women. So her message is reaching out and touching some lives. Her mission is to inspire 100,000 women, and it may be even bigger than that now. Linda shares a global message of love, of inspiration, and authentically through her work as a publisher and interviewer, she is a consciousness business catalyst. She is just passionate, an advocate, and a supporter for heart-centered female entrepreneurs. So, folks, if you are a female entrepreneur or know of one, listen close, because you're going to love what you hear tonight. Linda assists these women by bringing their wisdom, gifts, and messages to her global audience in a way that just allows them to authentically connect with women all around the world. I kind of wish I was a woman sometimes because of all of this. You know? Linda has moved from a life of a welfare mother to one of as an award-winning entrepreneur. Linda has learned firsthand the power of passion, courage, and perseverance to achieve your dreams. She is a passionate believer that there are no failures in life, only lessons to be learned and shared. Linda believes that when a woman discovers her true passion, believes in herself, and takes inspired action to move forward, that only success can follow. Her hope for every woman is that they realize their true potential, take action to bring it forward, and in turn share their unique wisdom with the world. It is my pleasure, my honor, and my inspiration to introduce you guys to Linda. Linda, how are you doing tonight?
I am doing amazing. I am so excited to be with you guys tonight, and congratulations on your Facebook family.
Isn't that wonderful?
Oh, well, it says a lot for the work you're doing in the world. I mean, when truth resonates, people are drawn to it. So congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. So, Linda, we are celebrating that you gave birth today. Will you tell everyone what you accomplished today?
Yeah, so, you know, if you hear my voice get a little excited tonight, it's Aspire Mag just launched its beautiful new website. So it's been 2 months of creative energy, but aspiremag.net just launched its new branding, new logo, and I'm just giddy with excitement. So, yeah, it was, as you said, Cheryl, it was like we were talking prior to the call. It is a birthing process. When you are passionate about something and you bring it to fruition and release it out to the universe, it's like, it's done. The rest is in hands of spirit. Mm-hmm. I did my part.
You've done your part, Ben, and I will tell anyone, I am sitting here looking this. I got a sneak peek at this and the magazine, and it is absolutely beautiful. And you can tell, Linda, that this is a labor of love. You can tell that this is an absolute joy for you. And I know, as someone that does a website, the depth in this is amazing, the resources here. You have come a long way from where you started. And when we first talked, you were talking about what it was like over 2 decades ago when you were a welfare mom. Tell us what happened that triggered you to get from where you were at that depth to where you are now.
Well, I'll tell you, when Kenny was speaking at the beginning of the call, when he mentioned that for him, he was in a black hole at one time, that it was no simple, you know, snap of the fingers to transform. Kenny, I could relate because that's how I always felt back then. Mm-hmm. Like I was in this black hole and I could see a little bit of light and I knew something was on that other side, you know, life transformation. But I'll tell you, I clawed at that hole for many years, so I can relate to that. And
yeah.
As you just mentioned, Cheryl, my daughter's going to be 29. And
wow.
I got off welfare, got 1989. She was 5 years old. And it was a tough thing. I mean, you know, you're a single mom. Up to that point, I had been queen of self-sabotage, runaway, high school dropout. So, you know, when I found myself as a single mother at 22... it was almost as if, yep, that's what was expected of me. Does that make sense? Like I was living up to the perceived expectations of what I had been doing for most of my life, just making the wrong decisions. Happily, I can say that Nikki was the best decision I ever made. She transformed my life because it became more than about me. For the first time in my life, I wanted better. Because I wasn't at a healthy point in my own self-esteem and my own journey to want better for myself. You know what I mean? So as those years progressed and I was on welfare those first 5-6 years of her life, I would try to keep moving forward. Of course, I fell back quite a few times, you know. And what was happening was she became my catalyst of wanting something different. And in 1989, as I said, I got off welfare because they offered, it was brand new, a job training program through the state. And one of the things we had to do in that 26-week job program was we had to make sure that we purchased clothes over those that period of time so we could dress, get a job and be dressed and have the professional office wear ready for us when we got the job. Well, you're talking about a bunch of women. Most of them didn't have cars. We could barely afford the diapers for the children. And here they are saying that we had to buy office clothes. So we found a consignment shop, and I was the only one with a car. And maybe two Saturdays a month, I would take a few of the ladies out consignment shopping. And I didn't know it at that moment in time when what transpired was a really one of the pivotal moments of my life. And I can see that it was now. And what that moment was for me was on one of the days that I took the girls shopping. We're all probably 22 to 40. Some had multiple kids, real hard lives. I was all in the excitement shopping the racks, and one of my classmates, probably about 5-6 years older than me, multiple children, I just noticed her come out of the dressing room, and it was nothing special in that moment. But in this one split second, I watched her walk up to the mirror with her $4 skirt and a little crisp white shirt that she found on the racks. And this instant changed my life. She walked up to the mirror, and all of a sudden I see her, just pushing her hair back. But all of a sudden the shoulders went straighter. She's looking in the mirror. And I know that look now, okay? So I get emotional, but I did not know it then. So let me be clear, I was nowhere in my level of journey to recognize what I was seeing. And I think that's why I still get emotional 20 years later. Is that moment I saw her look, the shoulders go back, and for this split millisecond, I saw what went through her mind. I actually felt it. She looked in that mirror and said, maybe I can have a better life.
Such a story of hope.
Well, that's what it was, and even though I couldn't name it that day, that moment is ingrained on my soul because life went on. I graduated. In fact, I graduated in 14 weeks instead of 26. That's how determined I was. I was one of the first to ever do it. Mm. Got a great paying job and started, as it sounds like both of you have, I started wanting to heal. So you get into counseling and do all the things that you have to do, and I hadn't even picked up my first spiritual book at that time. And then 1992 was the second turning point. I knew that I couldn't stay at the corporate job I was in because I felt like my soul was dying. It just wasn't who I was. I didn't agree with the energy in the place, even though I couldn't call it energy at that time. all these words now, I'm like, oh, my God, I was being led, and you didn't even know it. Couple cosmic 2x4s to wake me up, but
let me ask you this, Linda. Yeah, how did that appear to you? I mean, how did you know? Because there's a lot of people out there that might have something going on similar to what you went through, but they're not quite sure what's happening to them. Was there what caused you to follow this path?
The whole path, you mean? The unfolding?
Well, yeah. I mean, was it a feeling that you had?
Yeah, it was always this sense, and this sense that there was something more that I was supposed to do. Even though, and let me say this to those on the call, even though my past experiences and the mistakes I had made up to that point in my life said, who are you to even think you could do something different? Because I'll tell you, that's ego talking. The ego wants to keep you small. But my heart, or what I now call spirit, always knew. It was always pulling me, even when I didn't understand where it was pulling me. Even when I couldn't even call it spirit or heart. It was just this desire for something different that was bigger than my fear.
Wow. Linda, let me ask you a question.
I can describe it.
Yeah. So we run into so many people that go, I have this feeling, but I don't trust myself because I've made all these bad decisions in the past.
And then,
how did you get to the point where you said, I have to go forward and I have to trust myself? What was it that helped you get to there?
I'll tell you, I can say there's three steps, and don't forget, this is over a period of 20 years.
Sure.
One of the things that was very important to me, I'm an avid book geek, so, and I say that with love because back then we didn't have the internet and access to the stuff we have access now. Well, so think, the only way I could do it is I said, I'm going to commit to reading at least a book a week of something that makes me feel good. You know, because I used to bury myself in, you know, the Danielle Steele books and all that, but that was escapism for me.
Exactly.
So I really had to challenge myself and say, okay, you really want to change, then you're going to read a book that inspires something in you. And, you know, sometimes I didn't know what it was, but it's funny we're having this talk because guess what one of the books were, and I had to share this today in a special release I'm doing. One of the books is right in front of me. It's called, that I found on my spiritual development journey, This Thing Called You by Ernest Holmes. I got this edition. And there was a couple other books, but I wanted to say that so because it gives you an idea of what I was being drawn to. Mm-hmm. As I started to surround myself with books, all of a sudden it became this spark of, oh, my God, there's a whole world. There's actually books on what I'm feeling inside. So that one book a week became two a week. I now read, even with my schedule, minimum two books a week for the last 10 years. If you come to my home, I tell people, you cannot have that book. It's like a sacred child. I can tell you the birth process that I went through. So books, I chose to really surround myself with people that uplifted my spirit. If I start notice I didn't feel good around someone, I limited my time because I needed to get healthy for me and for my daughter. So it was little steps, but the wondering, the question that I really think your audience wants to know is how do they trust themselves? And for me, it was one step at a time.
We like that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do one step because it's a big jump from where I was in that black hole where I couldn't barely see any light to slowly watching the light that was streaming into the hole get bigger. So suddenly, all of a sudden, there was no longer the dirt sides that I had always envisioned. There was actually a ladder in the hole all that time that I could never see. And once you start awakening to all the knowledge and wisdom that is out there for you to turn to, that's when everything lit up. And then the more you trust and take the next step, all of a sudden you just wake up and you have no more doubt in the intuitive hits or knowledge that you're getting. And I'll be honest, that just came for me for the last 2 years. My doubt is gone. So it's been 18 years to get to the point where I go, okay, receive it and take action on it without any doubt whatsoever. But I think it's different for each of us, but you have to honor it.
Well, and I think that's just such a wonderful message to send out to our audience because it isn't an overnight flip the switch.
Oh.
It was a process. It's funny. I'm looking at your new website now, and the very first book that I ever read when I was climbing out of my black hole was Happy for No Reason.
Oh,
and you're so you're sitting there going, okay, that was the start. And to me, it was all about, I can't follow anything that's complex because I'm losing interest. You know, I can't sustain it. I didn't have the strength to sustain it. And that's really how Simple Steps is born. How do we do this one step at a time? And what you're saying is exactly, we're all saying the same thing. You take it one step at a time. You take one step and look at where you are at the moment. I am just so excited and so proud of your accomplishments. And I didn't know you up until a month ago. And I'm sitting here going, this is some wonderful woman who has led a life of hope. And that's what you're sharing with everyone. I think you're inspiring a whole lot more than 100,000 women, Linda.
Oh, thank you. But, you know, I tell everyone that's listening, Cheryl, Kenny, myself, Marcy Shymoff, all the ones that are out there that you are right now looking at going, how can I do what Cheryl and Kenny did? How can I turn my life around? Well, guess what? All three of us at one time, Kenny, Cheryl, and myself, were looking at Marcy and others out in the field saying, how can we do what they did? If we can do it, you can do it. If we can overcome our demons and move forward even in spite of fears, because I still have them, we all still have them. But I'm going to tell you what's on my computer right now, and hopefully it helps a listener. I'm human. We all are, so we all have these moments. And I had to remember, and I did it on a computer. It's just one line. And then I'm visual, so I put it in purple font, and I put it on beautiful scrapbook paper. And it's at the bottom of my monitor, and it said, "My dreams are stronger and more real than any false fears." And I put the word dreams in big purple letters to speak to my heart. And I put the word fear with F period E, you know, like an acronym, in very small little font. In other words, it's a visual reminder. Okay, Linda, you're facing a little, you know, block right now. What do you believe in more? And those moments like that, or a quote like that, it gets us to the next step. And that's the only place you have to get to, is the next step. You don't have to get there. Does that make sense? Just take the next step.
Well, it's so vital to do what you're talking about and give you something that gives you inspiration, because no matter how far along you are on the path, you still have things that will jump up in your way, and you still have things that will try to pull you back. And quotes like you're talking about there, Linda, are inspiration to keep moving forward and not allow that pull.
Exactly. And this is something I share with clients and with women who just reach out a lot of times when they hear my story is, you know, if you ever meet someone that tells you they're there, they're healed, they're at the end point, run like hell, you know, because there is no there. Life is a journey. We're going to keep unfolding. We are going to have things that come up, because every time we peel back a layer of and heal something, the next layer appears. So there is no there. A book that you picked up, maybe, I'll give you a perfect example. 9 years ago, I picked up Course in Miracles. I was like, oh, my God, I can't read this. It is so, like, because I didn't know that you could go right to the workbook. and I was like, I can't get through this. I must not be ready. And I put it away. And it wasn't connecting at that level that I needed it to connect at. Well, guess what? I was led not even 4 weeks ago to pull it back out, because of Gabby Bernstein and a few others who that I support that really believe in it. I said, pull it off the bookshelf, Linda. I cannot put this book down. And it's like, you are unpeeling layers. So a book that may, or an audio, whatever it may be, that didn't resonate before, you just hadn't got to where you needed to be able to understand it. But the tools and the resources are all around us. Or I'm sure you guys have discovered, Kenny and Cheryl, didn't write when you needed it the most. Someone, even a complete stranger, came into your life and either said, did, or did something that was the missing piece for you. Because that happened to me so many times. Angels came into my life and that I've never seen again. And I'm like, oh, I know why they were there. It's such a beautiful thing to know their support, even when we can't see it. So did you have those experiences too? I'm curious.
Oh yeah. Well, and the
Kenny is to, was that for me.
well, thank you.
Kenny's an angel, an earth angel.
Kenny.
Yeah.
Kenny's an angel.
Well, I'll work on that.
Don't tell Kathy.
We all go through that, and the key is not to get discouraged. Some things will resonate with you now, some will resonate with you later on, and there's so much stuff out there. Do not get discouraged when you're walking this path. That discouragement is just another form of that self-sabotage that Linda was talking about earlier. If you let it take hold, it will pull you back into the black hole. Leave the discouragement out of it and just look for something different, because there are a lot of things that are going to resonate.
I think you just say thank you to that. Whatever it's coming that is trying to discourage you, just say thank you. Instead of railing and fighting against it, okay, I acknowledge you're there, but that's not what my life's about anymore, and that's thank you for the reminder of where, how far I've come and where I'm not going. So, well, Linda, we're about to take a break here, but this is, we're going to talk some more when we come back about what's challenged you along your journey, because I think you have such a strong message. And I'm sitting here going, I remember when I got the Course in Miracles book, and I remember when I said, I can't do this right now. And I remember the day I said, I'm ready. So we all have such wonderful experiences. And everyone, if you will stay tuned, we will be back in just a few minutes with our guest, Linda Joy.
Ever think of light bulbs as being cool? They are if you choose energy-efficient bulbs and fixtures that have earned the government's Energy Star label. They're so hot, they're cool. Because they burn cool and last up to 10 times longer, you save money and oodles of energy. Change a light, help the environment, save some green. The solution is as close as your nearest lamp socket. Brighten your environmental future. From the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency.
Hi, this is John Ondrasik of Five for Fighting, here for RAD, the entertainment industry's voice for road safety. You know, style is a personal thing, and your lifestyle is your business. But if you take it on the road, it becomes everybody's business. So please, plan ahead, designate before you celebrate. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Every day, you can help good things happen. Claudia, a local health worker in Nicaragua, helped save 6 children from pneumonia. Rosina in Bangladesh helped save 10 children from diarrhea. Aster in Ethiopia helped save 20 from malaria. And Salif in Mali helped save 30 from the effects of malnutrition. Help one, save many. Visit goodgoes.org to find all the ways you can help the good go further. Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
And now back to Simple Steps, Real Change with Cheryl Maloney and Kenny Brixey on Empower Radio.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. We're having just a wonderful conversation with our guest, Linda Joy. Linda, before we signed off for the break, we were talking about the journey that you've been on, and we want to go back and circle back to that consignment shop, because that affected you in so many more ways when you saw the look on this woman's face and she straightened up when she was in these clothes. You could just see that hope in her eye. You left the corporate world and opened your own consignment shop. How did that go?
Well, what happened was that was 89 when I graduated, and that moment with that woman was ingrained in me even though I didn't know it. And when 92 came, at the end of 1992, I just had this deep need that I had to leave. And my family, you have to remember, queen of self-sabotage, remember? I was wearing that hat, financial misfit, all that. So when I ever said to my family, I'm going to leave this corporate job that has health insurance and everything and is the only stability I've ever had in my life, and I'm going to take my $2,400 and open a consignment shop. I won't even say what they said because it can't be said on the air. But it was my truth. And against what was expected of me, that was stronger than what their expectations were. And I gave notice on a Friday. On a Monday, 2 weeks later, one month later from that day, which was November 4th, I resigned. December 4th, I opened a consignment shop with one vision, only for women and children's clothing, so that another mother like me didn't have to feel shame because she couldn't afford something for her child, because I remember those feelings. Never mind of being able to afford something for herself. So that was the vision behind the store. And because I've always been a heart-centered person, even as I said, I couldn't have named it back then, because I created from a sense of purpose, I think that's why my business was successful, because less than 18 months later, I had my first part-time employee. By the second year, we moved to the store next door, expanded to 1,200 square feet, and by year 5, wow. I won Entrepreneur of the Year for the Small Business Association in Massachusetts. And wow. We had 200,000 in sales.
Oh, and my goodness.
In a used upscale.
In consignment.
Yes. And what happened, wow. That was just on by year five, and we were in business 11 years. But I want to, it wasn't that part, because I have to tell you where I was at emotionally and spiritually. When I found out I was nominated for that, I went into such a spiral, as Kenny, it sounds like you can relate to this, of who am I to deserve this? Yeah. I went into a dark hole of, oh my God, this attention, I didn't feel worthy. So it comes down to worth. And what happened is when I won the award, it brought on all the regional media, of course, the Rhode Island and Massachusetts. And then what happened, I say God has a sense of humor, boy. For many years, I had been reading, don't laugh, guys, the National Enquirer. And I grew up, every Wednesday that darn thing came out, and I was reading it for years. It became a family joke. Well, a freelance writer found me right after my nomination and said, you have an amazing story. I want to write it. And I said, well, what's a freelance writer? And she says, well, I try to sell the story. I get paid, you don't. I said, okay, I was busy growing my business. She did a great interview. I loved her energy, never heard anything until an Associated Press editor showed up and said, we need to do a photo shoot with you and your daughter. Your story got picked up. I said, by who?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I said, by who? And they said, I have no idea. We're just on assignment. So we shut down the store, big photo shoot. Like I said, and God loves to bust my chops. So, I caught myself on that one. Next to my consignment store was a magazine store cafe. 3 months after that gentleman was there, I see a knock on my window, and they said, your daughter is beautiful. My daughter at the time was 14 going on 15, and I knew this gentleman had never met her. And I looked at him and said, how do you know my daughter? He goes, she's in the National Enquirer. So I said, are you kidding me? And he said, Linda, you're in the National Enquirer. And I go, I won't tell you what I said, but anyway, he comes into my store all excited and proud and opens a 2-page spread. And I must say, it was the same issue that Jesse Jackson's love child was revealed. And I have to say, I was petrified beyond belief of what it was. But guess what? I didn't know at the time, is that the Enquirer on top, in other publications like that, back then, we're going back a long time, they used filler, true life filler stories, because who really gives a poop about some girl in Massachusetts? They want to read about Jesse Jackson's love child, mm-hmm. but they use inspirational stories as filler that are true. This woman's story nailed it. It just said from welfare mom, it was all... Like, she didn't make up that I had 5 kids and 12 husbands or anything. It was truth. Yeah. It was truth, fact. Well, the family joke was, oh, okay, I said to God that night, no Ladies Home Journal, no Oprah. I get the National Enquirer.
I love it.
Well, yeah, and so it was this family joke going, see, you manifested that. You were reading it. If you had been reading That's Oprah, true. You could have been an Oprah. And what happened... Oh, I let it go. Yeah, and what happened is when it hit the National Enquirer, all the media came back out again, bringing up my self-worth. Because a local woman makes national publication. That was January of that year. I'm trying to think of the year. It's got to be 2000 or the year before. A week later, I'm at home. And this is what I'm talking about, how divine will line things up. You have to understand my family is a family of comedians. So when National Enquirer, I had every cousin calling. It was a nightmare. But one night, I'm exhausted. I'm sitting down at dinner, and the phone rings. And it says, hi, this is NBC Studios. And I thought it was my little brother. So I said, all I said was, David, I'm exhausted. I'm tired. If I hear one more National Enquirer joke, I'm hanging up. And the person on the other end said, before you hang up, will you take my number? This really is NBC Studios. And I said, you are good. And I'm eating. The whole time I'm eating, my family's right there. I just write down the darn number. And I put down the phone, and my honey turns the piece of paper around, and he said, "That is a California extension." And he goes, "Your brother wouldn't know that." And then he took caller ID. He goes, "Did you check caller ID?" And it had some strange name. I go, "No." So I called back like 3 minutes later. I go, "Hello?" And, "Hi, NBC Studios." I'm like, "Oh, my God, I hung up on NBC." And within a week, they flew me out to Beverly Hills and put me up in that little fancy place. And I taped Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. You remember that show? With John Gray. It was based on John Gray's model, but he wasn't the host. And they invited me to share how I turned my life around. Again, Kenny, you can relate, all the media came out of the woodwork again. And this brought up all my deepest worth, feelings of self-worth. So I'm sharing the story not for the reason of being on that show, but every time the universe got me, placed me where I needed to be, it was really helping me release the next layer. Because without those experiences, because I got to tell you, one, I was petrified of flying by myself. I did it because they didn't pay for a guest. Second, I mean, to go on national TV and not know what they're going to say and not know how it's going to come across. It was, I had to go through a lot of my fears, but I see now that the universe kept saying, "You are being prepared for something, but we have to remove this old story you're carrying." And it's, I'll tell you, universe has hit me with a couple of cosmic 2x4s over the years, because the self-esteem and self-worth issues still come up, and I'm 50 years old. No, they don't come up in the way that they did back then, but I took that experience and what happened, even through that fearful time, when that experience opened the doors for colleges in our area, Simmons College of Graduate Work, different colleges in the Boston area to say, "Your story is inspiration. We need you to speak to women who are already off welfare, who are in a, entrepreneurial program through Simmons College and different colleges. Will you come speak to them?" My biggest fear. But I said yes. And every time I got in front of a podium or a room full of people or asked to sit on a round table to discuss welfare reform for women, I knew that I needed to show up. As petrified as I was, they didn't need to know that I was in the bathroom dry heaving before the call. But yeah. I did it anyway, because what I knew was, if my story, if my truth can touch one woman in that room who's listening, then who am I not to break through my fears? So every time, that was the statement I would say to me, saying, "You got through to this because you are meant to help someone else." And when you keep doing that, when you take yourself out of the picture, you know, and I'm saying this as I'm realizing it, but when I was able to take myself out of the picture, step out of my own fears in service to someone else, I won't say it was always easy, but it's what got me to the next step. Now, if you asked me back then if I could ever do a radio show and joke and laugh or do a video for my website or host a call for 11,000 people, I would have said, "Are you nuts?" But each time I do, another layer of the old story comes off. And that's what I want your listeners, if they get anything from my story, is you are going to be scared. I'm still scared sometimes. But you can still take action even when you are afraid. I do it all the time. And what will happen is, the more times you do that, the more empowered you get. Like, you get this little swagger in your bum and you go, "I just did that." It's this little dance. All right, I shouldn't have said that out loud, but it's this little dance I do in my room going, I just did that. And, you know, it's almost like a little cheerleader cheer to myself. And I want them to know that it's okay to be afraid. I've been afraid so many times, and I still am, but I still do it.
And when you get past that fear, when you walk past that fear, you just get a little bit stronger, and hopefully you realize it wasn't as bad as what your fear allowed you to believe. So next time when something comes up that causes you to get into that place. You go, okay, I got through the last one, I can get through this one. And it gives you confidence. It gives you the chance to say, you know what, I can do this.
It's courage. It gives us, it feeds our courage muscle, I think. And and I think that for so many of us, I know for me, I'll speak from my experience, sometimes I let that fear get so into my head that I forgot to go into my heart and check with my gut, you know, with my with my truth. And then when I realize that, I'm like, oh, I'm letting, you know, my head speak, which we know is ego and fear. And I try to step out of that and go, what would my heart tell me to do right now? And that's a totally different place to make decisions from.
Yeah, and what's happening, that you, the thing you just described is so important, because what happens is every time a layer peels off, another burst of your essence, your power, your strength, and your worth is revealed. And you can call upon that every time you take that next step. So it is a peeling back, but it's also a seeing the truth of you that's happening.
I'm going to tell you, we are going to capture that. What you just said is so important that later on we got to capture that so I can put it on a quote on the website, because it's so true. People forget that the essence of who you are has always been there. It can't be taken from you. What happens is life covers us up with our stories, our experiences, our fears. And as we do the work, and it is work, and as you just said so beautifully, Kenny, those layers are coming off. What was always there is now able to shine brightly. It isn't that we're becoming someone else. It's we're becoming the truth of who we always were.
Yeah. The coolest thing about it is when you tune into that truth, you don't have to keep peeling layers. You can go ahead and tap into that and pull that strength out. But you have to focus on that. It's real easy to get focused on the layers. And I know I'm guilty. I've been doing this for almost 20 years, and I still focus on layers sometimes. But when you can tap into your strength, when you can tap into the truth of you, you can forget about the layers. Just pull the strength out.
And it's so true. Just hearing you say it, I can just actually visualize it. And for you, both of you, this show that you do must bring you each, not only are you giving healing to the world through sharing the wisdom of different people, but think about it. I believe the universe is also bringing people to you. That's helping peel back those layers. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody comes into our lives for a reason. Like, you two coming into my life. And us having that beautiful conversation that we had the other day, none of us wanted to hang up. I knew the moment we hung up that, aside from this show tonight, that I knew I had met two kindred spirits. And that alone is a message from the universe. And that's the things we want the listeners to hear, is all around you are messages. All around you is support. You just have to do what Kenny says and stop looking at the layers that you're still trying to work off and just look at the truth of what's around you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What we say all the time, Linda, because to me it's important, I have one voice, Kenny has one, you have one, and I don't care where the message comes, which is why we try and bring in such a diverse group of folks to be on the radio or to be on the website, because our voices, whoever it is going to touch somebody's life. They may not hear mine, but they'll hear yours, or it doesn't matter where the voice comes from. If it resonates with them, and all of a sudden they go, oh, it's kind of like talking to my husband. He and I can have the same conversation over and over again, but I might not exactly hear what he has to say, but somebody else says the exact same thing, and the light goes on. Mm-hmm. So that's the beauty of being able to do this and what you're doing. You're sharing so many voices with the world. That changes people's lives.
I love that you recognize that, because that's how I see my role in the world. Is I see myself as this hub in the wheel, and my role is to bring the inspirational, empowering wisdom of others to the world. My gift is, for whatever reason, is being that hub, and I feel like I found my passion, as you two have. That's what we are here to do. We are here to bring the voices and wisdom of many. By doing that, the message will get to the person who needs it most, from the teacher or guide or person that they need to hear it from, because for everyone it is different.
Well, and for you, as I read this, because I love that you use the word catalyst when you describe yourself, because not only are you the hub, but you're the energy too. So that catalyst for changing in a life, even if it's a simple change, people resonate with, okay, wait a minute, here's this little piece that came from one of the authors or one of the folks that is a story on Aspire magazine. You're this catalyst that shares that energy with the world. And that's changing lives. I sincerely sit here and say, you want to change the lives of 100,000 women?
Yep.
I think that you probably haven't even imagined the millions and millions of women's lives that you've already changed.
Well, I guess
honestly believe that.
I feel energetically that I'm in alignment with what I'm meant to do. And who I'm meant to reach has already been decided. With every issue, and I might have shared this in our personal conversation, 7 years, every issue for 7 years, 6 issues a year, I bless with what I call, some would call, it's like a Reiki blessing, just, and it's my truth that I put into every project I do, not just the magazine. It's may one word, one sentence, one paragraph contain the wisdom and inspiration to inspire one woman, just one, to believe in the power within her, in the power of possibility. That's my prayer intention that I put into every project that I do. If I focus on serving one, that's all I need to do. Let right. some woman that's sitting in her car, as I was in 1991, that I wrote about in my book, that I was about to give up that day. I picture her. Every time I release a magazine, I go, that's who I'm trying to reach, that one woman who right now can't believe in herself, her future, forgive herself for her sins, for her past, because I had a lot of self-forgiveness to do. That's who I speak to in everything I do. And I know that my mission to inspire 100,000 women, because my vision is to give a free subscription away to 100,000 women. And wow. I'm on a mission, and we're a little under 30,000 right now. And we just started it. So I know, and that's not, you know, the other stuff I do, but I do it one woman at a time. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
If I stay focused on my truth, let me just serve that one woman who right now is listening to you, the three of us, and who's saying, oh, Linda was a welfare mom, Linda ran away, Linda, whatever the story may be, and maybe I can turn my life around. Isn't that what we all want? That's what your show is about. It's about, let us get that piece of hope out there to the world so another woman, man, child holds on.
And what we say all the time, and it's on the website, is those who come to be inspired, inspire. So what you're talking about, your one woman, she's going to touch the lives of others. And we talk about the ripples all the time, the ripple effect of touching lives, the ripple effect of just smiling at someone that's having a bad day. You're doing this, focusing on that one woman who stays with your heart all the time because you know you're serving her, but so many more. And Linda, your story is just, you know, it's one that I said to you that just out of the blue, I saw this picture of you, and it's like, I have to connect with Linda for some reason. And it was my first introduction to you, and your life changed mine. I may have been that woman sitting in the car at some point in time. So I
was
on it here
in Denver.
Oh, I'm just thrilled. And you know, the funny thing, we love this internet radio because this will be recorded. It'll be on iTunes and it goes out and it ripples and it ripples. And there are millions more people that will hear Linda Joy's story and her heart and soul. And that's powerful.
And that is the same for you and Kenny. It's everything you're doing. Look at you. As we started the call, you're celebrating such a milestone on Facebook. Now think about it. That's all those people that have been touched by your energy who then take your energy, you and Kenny's, and bring it out into their relationships, into their world. So see how it's a ripple, as you said. It's just this beautiful ripple. And we have to, who are we not to do what we are called to do when we have that vision of just one at a time? And if there's a moment, there's a story, because there's something you just shared when you said one smile. And it's a brief story that happened to me at a grocery store when I was probably 9 years ago. And I was trying to learn non-judgment. Boy, that's a tough one, isn't it?
Right, it is.
And I remember, like, sometimes we're so caught up in our head that we're not truly connecting with anyone around us. And I was probably the third in line at a grocery checkout line, and the young girl behind the counter was maybe 25. And I could feel the energy. I was just learning how to read my own feelings. And the tension was building in line because this poor girl was making every mistake in front of a customer who didn't want to hear it. And instead, I could feel the tension building. The next person was going, oh, can you believe this? And I knew that when it was my turn to get to the register, I had a choice. I was either going to continue that negative, judgmental energy, which would then go to all the people behind me, which would radiate it into the world, or I would stop it then. And now I stepped up to her, and believe me, it was, you have all that negative heaviness. And I chose in that one moment, and I never knew how much it would mean to me, never mind her, I said, tough day, huh? Now, no one had bothered to ask her that. And the moment I said it, she broke it down in tears and said, I've only been here 8 weeks. My son's in ICU. They said if I call in, I don't have a job. Now, if someone had taken one moment to be kind, to witness her, to see her. Now, I have to say, at that moment in time, she may think I was her biggest lesson. She was my biggest lesson. Because that moment, I let her be heard, but it also changed something in me. And, of course, now guess what? The gentleman, this 6'3", massive man behind me, who had been pacing back and forth on his foot because he had felt the energy, I felt his energy shift to one of love and compassion instead of impatience and all that. That's when I knew that we each as individuals have the power to shift the way the world is going. And she was my greatest lesson. I can still remember her face. I remember everything. So that simple smile that you give to someone can be life-saving. It can really hold someone together. So give that smile and reach out to somebody.
What a wonderful story.
That's my Zen moment of the day. Well, isn't it so true? Well, we can all be guilty of it. And I still struggle with that, but she's my greatest teacher.
Let me ask you a question, because I know we're getting close to the end of the show. I'm curious. Talk a little bit about your daughter. What does she do now? Because she has one inspiring mother.
Well, I'll tell you, my daughter is now 29. She just became a mom a year ago, my granddaughter. Aww. Yeah, she'll be a year old in 2 weeks. And the one thing I've always said to Nikki, always, is don't do what's expected of you. Do what's true to you. Because I had always been, gone the wrong way because I tried to do what was expected when it wasn't right for me. So that what happened is that quelled who I truly was. I am a creative person. In other words, one of the biggest things I said to her when she was in high school is, if you don't want to go to college, because she was in a private school, I wanted that pressure. I said, if you're not being called to go to college, know that that's okay with me, whatever decision you make. Mm-hmm. And she's now a medical assistant. She's also trained as an esthetician. She loves what she does. She's loving, compassionate, joyful. And I am very proud of the woman she is. And I wanted her to be who she was meant to be. Does that make sense? Not who my own expectations of her.
Yeah, that is so incredible to be able to give that to somebody else, to give that inspiration to somebody else. Great example is a friend of mine, or an acquaintance rather, is a counselor, and he was counseling a woman who was just having fits because the son would not go to school. He was in high school or something. Well, he had created like Atari or one of these video game things, was a millionaire as a teenager, and she was upset because he wouldn't go to school. Like, you know, what better proof do you need to let him do what he's resonating with? And, exactly. You know, so, but that's what we can give our children and we can give our friends and we can give anybody we can give that smile to is do what resonates with you. Don't do what you should all the time.
No, because we get caught up in shoulds and what happens each time we do something we should instead of something that we're inspired to do, we lose that part of ourselves. And I lost it for many years, and I'm finally claiming that I'm a creative, collaborative person who just needs to be fulfilled by a sense of purpose. And I own that now.
And you did it well.
Well, Linda, our show has actually come to an end. Thank you for spending this hour with us. I know that you have reached the lives of so many other folks, so... Thank you very much for being here with us.
Yes, thank you.
It was a blessing for me, too. Thank you.
Our thanks to Brent Carey for allowing us to do this show every night. And to Andrew, next week, look for Regina Cates from Romancing Your Soul. She's going to talk about defining success. Have a great week, everyone.
Good night.